Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
It's not about me. I'm only here for a minute, and I know that I can't fix it. I can help even just a little bit. Won't you let me try?
Hello, and welcome to the last ever Laz and Powers podcast. I am Mark Lazarus, joined by Scott Powers. We are of The Athletic. This is the last episode in this feed, but you're not getting rid of us that easy. Scott, how you doing?
I'm good. This is it's sort of sad. This is I think this is episode 154 that we've done. So we've done a couple, and
we haven't been consistent, but we've been prolific.
No, for sure. And mostly, I mean, during the season we're usually pretty good, and certainly before when we had our own producer and it was pushed on us a little bit more, we were more consistent. And, you know, I'm sure other people have noticed that The Athletic has gone away from local podcasts a little bit. It is what it is. It's not really our choice, but yeah, we don't have a whole lot to say. So they have given us the freedom to go elsewhere, and that's what we plan to do. You know, we put a lot of thought into what we want to do next. And it sort of reinvigorated us a little bit about just creating the podcast and making this something we want to do, where I think at times it has felt like a chore. At least during the season, it can be really grinding. And so we've decided that we're going to put it behind a Patreon, and we're going to try it like that. We're going to try to really embrace in podcasting and try to make it the best podcast that we can be. Just beyond, you know, we want to do our weekly podcast, but we want to do something bigger and better too, where we want to have bonus episodes with guests, and, you know, and try to have a little bit more variety, but also to make it something, make it anything we want. You know, Mark and I've talked about doing, you know, in a few years back, I did a podcast about sports writing called Talk About Sports Writing. We thought about bringing that back, and, you know, each of us, maybe sometimes it's just me on there, sometimes it's just Laz, or we bring on different guests. But I think it's you know, it's for me personally, I'm excited. Like, it feels like the early days of The Athletic a little bit, where
yeah, I have more of the wild, wild west, right?
I have a little bit of control again, you know, where I got to pick my writers. And, you know, it's cool to see a lot of people that you know, Sean Turney and Tyler Dello and all the people that used to do stories for The Athletic and for Athletic Chicago go on to do different things, and even Hedger and you know, Jack Han, and you know, there's so many different people. And I think, you know, this will be an opportunity that I even mentioned Ben Pope at the Sun Times coming on, and, you know, having some of the beat writers. And, you know, I talked to Daryl Belfry, who's willing to come on every few weeks, and we're hoping to do kind of something cool with him. So I think there's a lot of different ways that we can go with this, and we're going to charge, you know, charge a little bit of money for a few different tiers. But, you know, we're mindful that, it's, you know, people are sort of, they have their limits to what they can do, but we think this is hopefully worthwhile for us and everyone else.
Yeah, look, the main podcast itself won't change. We'll be probably doing one or two a week, like we have been for, you know, what, 4 years now. We'll be more consistent with that, because we'll have to be, because you'll be giving us money in order to do it. So we'll have a little more motivation to do it too. But there'll be one or two podcasts a week that are just straight up Chicago Blackhawks podcasts that you always get from us. With, you know, we'll be traveling to just about every game this year, at the Connor Bedard of it all. We're going to be everywhere you can be, and we're going to be all over the team. But it'll be more than that. Like you said, the bonus episodes, at least three a month, probably more than that some months. You know, I'm excited to kind of piggyback off your talk about sports or anything. There's nothing I love more than talking shop with other journalists. You know, your breakdowns with Daryl Belfry. When we're on the road, we'll bring in, you know, other Central Division and other NHL beat writers that we're friends with around the league, just to talk about, you know, the various things league-wide. We can get into more wide-ranging topics that are beyond the Blackhawks in some of these bonus episodes. And I think it gives us an opportunity to do a lot more, because I think you're right when you say, like, it became a grind. Like, this was like, oh God, we got to record a podcast again, right? And it's because it wasn't our primary function, right? Our job was our job. But now that we have control of it, now that we have some, you know, total say over it, I think we'll be a lot more excited about doing it. And I think the product will be a lot better. And I think it'll be worth a couple bucks a month.
Yeah, no, for sure. We're both excited for it. And
By the way, the new name is Powers and Laz because of hilarious legalities that exist in the world.
Yes. So, for once, I will be first, and I will.
It's fine by me, man.
I've already made T-shirts and banners, and
I'm thinking of it like, you know, when you're watching the movies, and like the biggest star gets the "and" credit at the end. You know, it's like it lists like 10 people, and it's like "and Willem Dafoe" or something like that. And Laz. I'm taking it that way.
Yeah.
To assuage my ego.
We'll jump in a little bit of Blackhawks here, but people can go to the Patreon and under Powers and Laz. You'll see a little bit of an intro podcast, and we'll start getting the ball rolling here later this week. And, and some will be trial and error, and certainly would love some feedback too. So I know some of you are going to desert us, and that's fine. Like we get it. We know we're probably going to shrink our audience a little bit by doing this, but, and part of it's understanding that we're going to get a smaller audience. I'm hoping it becomes more of an intimate audience too, that it feels a little bit more like a community, like the early days of The Athletic, where as we've grown, the comments section and a lot of this is changed a lot. And I'm hoping to bring some of that community back, where it's, you know, certainly access to us and, you know, different.
Yeah. One of the things I think that we both talked about that we're excited about is, you know, if you get into that higher tier, there's going to be like monthly Zoom calls where we all just hop on a Zoom together and we talk hockey or whatever it is you want to talk about, you know, more casual, kind of just get togethers and hangouts. I think that'll be really fun. Get to know some people and, you know, we'll do mailbag episodes. It'll be much more interactive, I think, which will be a lot more fun.
Yeah. And we'll certainly be doing all of our athletic work, that it's still our primary job, and all of our coverage and all that.
Nothing. Wait, I got to write too? God damn it.
I know we jump into the training camp a little bit here. I personally, one, training camp does kind of get old quickly, but just the type of stories I want to write and the interest of this team is just, it's so much different than a year ago where, there's a chance for the Blackhawks are still as bad as last year, but there's the players are just so much more intriguing, and knowing these guys are going to be here, and you know, the fact the Blackhawks could start off with Kaiser, Korchinski, and Velasquez as their left-handed shot defenseman, and you add in, you know, Reichel and Bedard being the one and two centers, and Soderblom, you know, being, you know, 1A, 1B sort of thing with Mrazek probably at least at the start. It just, yeah, there's so much more intrigue to what this team is. And it's been interesting, I guess, hearing Luke Richardson kind of talk about that the last, you know, over the first week of the season, and just how they're bringing guys in. And, you know, you get the sense that how important this is to, they understand it's important, where I think that was a little bit of the fear sometimes bringing young guys is that they're going to have to sit behind veterans. And I think that's going to be a little bit the case this year, where at times those guys may not play as much as you expect or whatnot. But the fact that, yeah, I think that, you know, Kaiser's playing alongside Seth Jones in practice right now.
Boy, Kaiser looks good. I remember being like mildly impressed with Kaiser in the spring. You know, he's like, oh, this guy's got some skill. He could be, you know, one of these third pairing defensemen that they always seem to find.
Yeah.
And then you look at him this fall, and it's like the leap he's made and his skating ability, and he just looks so comfortable out there, and the Blackhawks clearly are very high on him all of a sudden, and it really does change the dynamic. Like, you know, you watch the Bears right now and they're bad, and there's also absolutely no hope, right? Like, there's nothing that you can cling to as a Bears fan. You can't even cling to Justin Fields anymore. But the Blackhawks, they might be bad this year too, but you have all these guys you can cling to as, like, all right, they're starting to lay the groundwork here. And you know, it makes the makes the losing so much easier to swallow when you feel there's a plan, right? When you feel that there's a process actually happening here, as opposed to just, you know, the total chaos that's up at Halas Hall. So I do think this year it almost doesn't matter. I mean, it seems silly to say that. Of course it matters. It's sports, but it almost doesn't matter what they win or lose. It just matters how these guys, these particular, you know, 5, 6, 7, however many young guys are on this team, it matters what they do.
Yeah.
And if they start performing, you start having dreams of like 2007, 2008 stuck in your head, and knowing that, you know, something special could be right around the corner. And, you know, I you're not a Blackhawks fan. I'm not a Blackhawks fan, but it's certainly better to cover a team that's interesting Yeah. That's all we want is compelling and interesting and not in like the most depressing way like it's been the last few years.
Yeah.
So there's some excitement around the beat. I mean, even in years up in the press room at, you know, Fifth Third Arena, and, you know, there's so many goddamn people in that room now. it's not like the, you know, a few years ago when there was like four of us hanging around every day. But there's a reason for that. It's because people are starting to get excited about it. And it should be a very, at the very worst, intriguing year.
Yeah. And something, and, you know, focusing on those five or six guys, and I tried to write about the other day about Luke Richardson, where it's so much about his job and how they develop those players, where, you know, getting those guys ready for the next few years, where all of a sudden, you know, two or three years, it looks a little bit more realistic. The Blackhawks can be contenders. You know, I think Kyle Davidson ideally would love to be have another top five pick after this season, but you know, soon, quickly, those guys are going to be playing bigger and bigger roles, and the contracts are going to start getting, you know, a guy like, all of a sudden, if Kaiser's due money along with Korchinski and Reichel and all that, like they need these guys to be the core, and it'll be interesting how that this, I think this season a lot more than last year where they didn't have a lot of young players, that this season so much more about development and how much. I think a lot of players take a lot of leaps during the offseason. Like you see Kaiser take that huge leap, but it's about getting them NHL ready and allowing them to make mistakes. And, you know, like you want them to be a year from now, 2 years from now, so much further along. And I think it really matters. You know, I think Kyle Davidson was talking about the NHL not being a developmental league, and that's, it's true in some ways.
I don't agree with that at all.
Yeah, like, I think if you're
in the position the Blackhawks are in right now, yeah, the NHL is absolutely a developmental league. And I think that's the concern. You wrote about this well the other day when you talked about how, you know, Luke Richardson was the right guy for that first year to kind of build a culture. And now we get to see if he's the right guy for the next step. Because, you know, we talk about this a lot. Like Dennis Savard, I don't think he was necessarily a very good coach, but he was the right coach for that young, talented team in the late 2000s because he just let him go. He let him screw up. He let him run. And I'm not sure Luke Richardson is built to just let these guys run. He's already talking about potentially, like you said, scratching, you know, Korchinski might not play every day if he's on the team, and Kaiser might not play every day. You might see Nikita Zaitsev ahead of these guys. And it's like, that's going to make fans tear their hair out. And it's kind of understandable because the goal this year isn't to win. This team is, and even, you know, Jason Dickinson said it the other day. We all know it, that, you know, we're not expecting to contend for the Stanley Cup this year. The point is not to win this year. It's to get these guys' feet wet. And I don't really worry so much about, you know, the ego bruise of having a bad day here and there. The NHL can be a developmental league in the right situation with the right people. And I think having people like Nick Foligno and Jason Dickinson and some of these veterans and Connor Murphy around these guys, I wouldn't worry so much about the losing, getting to these guys and bad nights, they need to play.
Yeah.
They need to experience this. And you need to get it out of the way now so they're not still developing a year or two from now.
But I think the one difference is that I think when you talk about developmental league, there's players who aren't ready for the NHL. You know, guys that who just can't play at this level and the game's too fast. And I think that's where the difference is, where when you look at Bedard and Reichel and all these guys, these are all guys who are they're NHL players in at whatever level right now. It's a matter of them, you know, kind of trial and error. But I think it's,
yeah,
more
I'm not
about,
saying throw Oliver Moore out there right now.
Right, no, obviously. Exactly.
I'm talking about guys that are ready.
I think that's the differentiation, you know, like it's
it's a problem if, you know, if Wyatt Kaiser's on this team and he's playing 12 minutes a night and getting scratched every third game, that's not helping anybody.
Yeah.
Either he's in the NHL or he's not. Treat him like an NHL player.
To be fair, Luke Richardson did say on Saturday, he said, you know, like, we have to, you know, we want these guys playing and we know they're going to make mistakes and sometimes we have to sit them, but he's also like, you know, if they're playing the game, then we got to run with them too, where those are the guys that we need to start putting ahead and giving them the minutes. So, but I think, you know, the fact that the Kaiser is playing with Seth Jones, you know, like I think that's an indication that they, I think they're trying to balancing the veterans with the young guys, but it's also that they see the upside of Kaiser. And I think he opened so many eyes in Minnesota and what he did in just that one game where it was Connor Bedard's show, but then Kaiser wasn't that far behind, at least from the defensive side. And Richardson even said so on Saturday, where just, you know, Kaiser kind of blew them away. And I think before training camp started, they thought Kaiser was maybe someone who can make the team or might be someone who might need more time in Rockford. And all of a sudden he's on the top pairing. And maybe he will go through his, you know, like he's a kid who's played in college and, You know, he said last year he felt like it was more like an NHL season because you had those, you know, kind of the development stuff and then World Junior stuff. And even with Minnesota, he said, he went to he was at school in July playing. But it's still, you know, and I think that's what Taylor Hall mentioned the other day, too, was just how when he came from junior that it's such a toll on you where, you know, like someone like Connor Bedard's used to playing games, but then probably hanging out afterward and shooting forever and whatever. And he says that part's just it gets harder to balance as you need to have a little bit more. Just having understanding your body and sort of the grind of the season and the flying and all those different things that I don't think they really have to go through at any other level. So I guess that's the other thing that has stood out to me is that, and you know, a lot of it's just words right now, but the way that Foligno and Taylor Hall and a lot of these guys speak, it feels like they're up for this job and they know what they're getting into. And they want to be that, you know, that sponge for, you know, they want to be there for these young players and, you know, especially Bedard, you know, that they understand what, you know, him coming in the league and if they can help him in any way, it's, I think that was sort of the fear. And I know it's been a question asked by a lot of people is like, how do you replace Cannon Taves? And they're not the same, but in a lot of ways, they bring their own things to the table for, you know, sort of that veteran leadership.
Yeah. I mean, you talk to Nick Foligno for 5 minutes and you're bought in fully. I mean, the second they signed him, I had like 15 writers from around the country telling me, oh my God, you're getting the best, like literally the best guy in the league to deal with as a writer, to deal with as a player. I mean, nobody has a bad thing to say about Nick Foligno. And all of a sudden you're like, all right, well, they don't have Kane and Taze, but they got this guy and this guy's going to go a long way. And he's still a decent player. He had, you know, 26 points, 10 goals last year. It's not like he's like some, you know, some guy off the shit heap here. You know, he's older and he's a role player. But he's a guy
for the Bruins, right? Like the Bruins were the team in the regular season, at least.
He's a guy who can still play in the NHL. So it's not like he's just there as a mascot either. So, you know, and again, you look around the room. I think people underestimate Jason Dickinson's presence in the room. Connor Murphy is beloved and respected. They've got guys that can do it. I mean, yes, Kane and Taves understand better than anybody exactly what Connor Bedard is looking at here, being a young superstar in Chicago. But that doesn't mean that other people can't be useful in Bedard's process here. So I think that, you know, there's people that can step into those roles just fine.
It was interesting. Taylor Hall ran through all the young players that he's played with and all these number one picks and all these stars. And he's
been around, man. He has really been around.
And having been it himself, too. And it was a really interesting
comparison. Most number one overall picks don't really go too many places. They tend to stick with the team or they get maybe one big blockbuster trade. That dude's been everywhere, man. So he has seen it. He's been on good teams. He's been on bad teams. He's won the MVP. He's been irrelevant. Like, he has run the gamut. And, you know, he's 31 years old. There's a lot of good hockey left in him.
Yeah, he talked about on Saturday about how he wants to play until, you know, into his, you know, late 30s and wants to keep this going. And so, you know, as much as he has 2 years left in his contract, he, you know, he sounds like he's someone who wants to, you know, potentially stick around. And a lot of that is going to be money in the end, you know, like fitting everyone in. But he's invested and he's certainly motivated where he's, you know, he had a fine season at Boston, but he wasn't what he's been in the past and certainly didn't have the role. And all of a sudden he's going to see top power play time and going to see the ice time increase again. So he's motivated. It's hard to gauge, you know, we're watching, you know, practices and battle drills and there's certain things that pop out, but, you know, beginning tomorrow on Monday, we'll start seeing scrimmages. I think Monday, Tuesday scrimmages, obviously Thursday, first preseason game. Another preseason game on the road on Saturday, but it'll feel like we'll have a lot more insight into.
It's funny, and I think this is frequently the case during training camp, except for maybe last year when we knew exactly what was going to happen. Like our excellent Winnipeg writer Marat messaged me the other day. He's like, "Hey, I'm doing this list of teams I think that can improve by at least 10, 15 points in the standings, and I want to put Chicago on there. Am I an idiot?" And I'm like, "Well, I think Scott would tell you you're an idiot, and a lot of people will tell you you're an idiot, but I can see it." You can see, I mean, first of all, they were so bad last year that a 10-point improvement still sucks. Like, that's you're talking like, what, 78, 79, 80 points tops. That's entirely plausible. Like, this is not going to be a playoff team, but it's reasonable to expect. And considering how competitive they were last year with that just, you know, intentionally awful roster, how Luke had them playing, and it's conceivable that, you know, I don't know if this roster is better than last year's, but it's going to have a little bit more motivation because like the guys that were on the team last year were just, they knew what was going on. They were just passing through. Whereas these young guys are going to be playing for their careers in their minds. So there's going to be a little more motivation, a little more energy. And if Bedard is half of what people think he's going to be, and if Reichel is what we all expect him to be, and, you know, Karchinski and Kaiser, I mean, this could be a pretty darn competitive, at least, club. And it's entirely possible. Like, I could see this team being a 55-point team. I could see this team being an 85-point team. And I know that we all get fooled during training camp. We all get, you know, hope springs eternal, just like it does in every other sport. But the range of possibilities on this team, it's all out of the playoffs, but it's, you know, and the Western Conference is not too scary this year. There's a couple of great teams at the top, Dallas and Colorado and maybe Vegas. And then there's a lot of winnable games out there. So it could be, I don't know. It's hard to get a gauge for this season, and the preseason will trick us into thinking that someone like Alexander Fortin is going to score 30 goals like we do every year. And we'll all be proven to be very silly with when we look back at what we wrote in the camp. But it'll be interesting to see actual hockey this week and to make our ridiculous assumptions.
Yeah. I don't know if the problem last year was motivation. It just felt like the ceilings, everyone was, you know, they were what they were,
what,
like,
they were. Yeah.
Yeah. Like this year, like it's, I think there's an unknown. It's, you know, the fact that you have so many young defensemen, and you have, you know, the fact that Reichel came in stronger and certainly gave him a look at center again, like it changes dynamic. And if Kaiser is legit, it just changes what you think of them. And for me, it still comes down to, like, last year, you know, you had Domi and Kane and those guys are basically replaced by Bedard and Hall. And, you know, and maybe the ceiling's a little bit higher with those, at least in the long term, for sure. But, you know, at least compared to what, you know, what Kane and Domi are right now, career wise. But I think at the present time, it's, you know, maybe they bring in a similar numbers, but then it's about the depth number, you know, like it's, what can that third line do? That fourth line do? Because the Blackhawks had some guys who could score goals last year. I mean, Radish scored 20, and Domi and Kane put up theirs. And it comes down to, that Gutman. You know, Gutman looks like Gutman, Tyler Johnson, and Radish going to play together. And then the fourth line's a little bit more interesting, where all of a sudden it's Foligno and Perry and Dickinson right now. Where, I guess this is the next evolution of the Blackhawks too, where it's guys like Reese Johnson, Mackenzie Entwistle, the guys that are, looking. You know, the outside now, you know, they don't have spots, because as the Blackhawks get better, it's going to get harder to make the team. So I think that's some of the evolution of this team too. It's going to, you know, some of those veterans and guys who've been around, not that those guys are really, you know, old players, but the guys who probably were, you know, felt like they had spots guaranteed last season to some extent, and now they don't. So even Kurashev looks, you know, like, again, it's camp, but the other day, you know, Richardson thought that line was the Reichel and at the CU Kurashev line stood out. And again, it's, you know, like I feel like I was so tricked by the Nylander, was it Nylander Strom Kane line? Was that the one line?
Oh, the bubble camp
going into it. It's like, oh, this line looks amazing. And then you put the actual defenseman out there, and it Nylander didn't have a point.
Did they look really good against the Blackhawks?
Yeah, I remember breaking down video practice, and I guess I will say
Kirby Dach looked freaking awesome for that week.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And if he didn't break his wrist at Team Canada camp, I mean, the whole trajectory here could be different, but yeah, you know.
No, but I've learned my lesson about training camps and what to take from them. And
I haven't. I'm gonna make ridiculous assumptions.
Who was Marco Dano was the first line.
Marco
leader.
Dano. I never learned
with Hosen.
That's the whole fun of training camp. It's really boring, and so we have to make, you know, oh my god, this guy's the next great thing.
I just find it hard to be like I know this is completely just throwing stuff against the wall.
Or Alexander Fortin. That's like my quintessential training camp. Mirage,
yeah,
where, oh, he's really fast and he scored two goals in their preseason game. This guy's top six for the next 15 years. Never heard of him again.
Yeah, now the fact that Fortin got an initial contract, all the power to him, you know, like he,
yeah, hey, get paid, go be the king of Rockford.
To me, it's about the depth scoring, and then it's going to be about the goalies, right? Like, if you know, if Soderblom's legit, then the Blackhawks are certainly going to be better. I don't think Mrazek's going to exceed what he's been in the last few years. Like he just doesn't seem like, he seems like he is what he is too. So it's definitely
four
more
groin
intriguing.
Injuries waiting to happen. That's what he is.
Sure. Yeah, that's Blackhawks are definitely, I talked to someone just recently from the team, and they said the same thing too, where like they wouldn't mind a top five, top 10 pick, but they also, you know, like they've put the cards out there, and they're gonna let Richardson play with them again. And if this team's better than they expect, then that it is, because ultimately it's Like, it's not a bad thing. Now, last year, if the team was the Blackhawks were too good, it was a bad thing because it was going to ruin your chances at Bedard. This year, it's
I'm like curious when we do our annual, what the scouts are saying going into the season. I'm very curious to see what that's going to turn out like.
I think there's been a lot of talk about Bedard they're intriguing. Like, there's definitely more of a ceiling. There's so much opportunity to kind of grow into roles, and we see it around the league where some players arrive a lot quicker. So I mean, the Blackhawks could have a bunch of guys who are pretty good NHL players sooner than later. So it's you can feel that
we'll have a lot to talk about, is what we're saying. This is our long way of saying you should subscribe to our new podcast.
So we will be on at the Patreon, and if you go to Powers and Laz, you'll be able to find us there, and you can subscribe. And
is it just patreon.com/powersandlaz? I'm not that familiar.
It's patreon.com/powersandlaz. And I'm sure we'll be tweeting it and putting it out there too. And
I don't ever plug things. I have too much humility and shame to ever tout anything on Twitter. I don't know what you're talking about.
You won't be seeing it on The Athletic, at least. It's we're both
our own thing. It's our own thing.
So and we are going to make it our own and put our own. It's mainly going to be mostly a Blackhawks podcast, but it will give us an opportunity to kind of to delve into other subjects. So for Mark Lazarus, I'm Scott Powers, and for the final time, this is Laz and Powers, and we'll see you at Powers and Laz. Take care.
See you on the other side.
And I know that I can fix it. I can help even just a little bit. Won't you let me try?
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.